These are stories of women, mothers, and enterprises filled with grit, gumption, and overcoming. Where in the midst of adversity, we see her rise up. She makes a choice. She chooses to emerge. I'm your host, Becca Erickson. Hey, everybody. I welcome you to this week's episode of the To Emerge podcast. I am on today with Dr. Reba Peoples, MD in psychiatry, and she is actually an entrepreneur also. She runs Amara Health and Wellness, and we just have so much to learn from Dr. Peoples. So welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Will you just jump right in and talk to me about residency, why you chose psychiatry, what you were doing in a kind of hospital clinical setting until one day your mind switched?
All right. Sounds good. You know, it's an interesting story because I actually sort of fell into psychiatry. When I entered medical school, I actually thought that I wanted to be a forensic pathologist. So I don't know if you remember the show. It was called Diagnosis Murder.
Oh, sure.
In my day.
We're going to be
Right. Victoria Rowell. So she was this sort of bad woman. And I just thought, wow, that seems so amazing. She's, you know, solving these complex mysteries. And I thought that's what forensics would be like until I actually got to medical school. First semester, we do gross anatomy and we actually come face to face with actual bodies. And I understood kind of the gross in gross anatomy. Yes. So I thought, well, pathology probably is not going to be a good career trajectory.
So you liked people living more than...
Exactly. Right.
Did you come from a medical family?
So my father is a teacher, went on to be an associate assistant principal at a high school, and my mother was a social worker.
Sure. So still a very professional family. So they were like, yeah, so go for it.
Right?
Do that. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a great dream. We encourage you to do that. Sure.
Exactly. And the first 2 years of medical school are non-clinical. So it really was all sort of classroom for the first 2 years. And by the third year, I got to do my actual clinical rotations and was really disillusioned. So we would see, you know, patients who were, you know, morbidly obese, and we would, you know, give them their insulin for their diabetes, but provide no real counseling around, well, how do you prevent developing the diabetes in the first place? So that was just really frustrating, and I really didn't envision myself being happy in medicine until I took my psychiatry rotation. So in psychiatry, that was sort of one of the first experiences where I felt that people genuinely had no control over developing emotional health issues. And now, kind of in retrospect, I have a very different idea about prevention and emotional wellness. So we don't tend to hear a lot about prevention when it comes to emotional wellness, but there are many things that we can do to help sort of lessen the likelihood of developing mental and emotional health related issues. But at the time, it felt really good just to see people come into the hospital, maybe extremely depressed or psychotic or really just unable to function because of their symptoms. We give them medications and send them on their way, and they're, you know, able to function again in society. But as a resident, you sort of see that one piece of it. But once I was out into practice and actually following people long term after they have had these major setbacks and major illnesses, it became apparent that oftentimes we were really sort of doing the same thing. So kind of patching up symptoms, but not really helping people identify the root cause of why they were struggling with the emotional health concerns in the first place. So for me, I really did start to experience a bit of burnout with sort of prescribing medication after medication and seeing my patients get somewhat better, but not really thriving in their lives. Right. So, you know, over time, that really did kind of take a bit of a toll.
Yeah. So you maybe saw them getting better in one facet, but the holistic swimming upstream.
Exactly.
Take some agency over your life thing still wasn't happening
exactly.
for people.
Exactly.
Did it make you kind of wonder, like, why am I an MD at all? Like, why am I even an MD? Or did I even choose the right thing because now I'm frustrated with people?
Of course. So I definitely had my own moment of burnout. So I was working in a clinic where we would see patients every, you know, 15 to 20 minutes. So it was an exhausting schedule. We also had to take overnight call. So one night per week, we would actually take call from three local hospitals. So it wasn't, you know, an easy call. So the pager would go off consistently throughout the night. So there was an entire night of being sleep deprived and then having to come in the next morning and see patients all day. My physical health really started to suffer in that situation. And at one point, I literally passed out in the middle of a clinic day.
So like collapsed out of fatigue.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell everyone about like what the thoughts were that went through your head when you collapsed.
Oh my God, how am I going to reschedule all my patients? I'm booked solid for the next month. So not thinking, wow, what's going on? How am I going to get better? But how am I going to reschedule my patients? I'm already sort of overbooked as it is. That planted a seed that maybe something's not quite right with this situation.
Right. Just too much is being done and you're way too focused on the lives of other people to the sacrifice of yourself.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Gosh. Did the wake-up call happen because of that? Or did it take several weeks for you to be like, maybe this is a rigorous schedule?
You know, surprisingly, you would think that that would be a wake-up call, but no, I went right back to work, jumped right back into the call schedule, jumped right back into having migraine headaches and seeing specialists and taking medication after medication to try to deal with, you know, what's going on.
The irony.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But like the turning point actually was a patient. Anyone who works in sort of a mental health profession knows that there's always that one client that you see on your schedule and you just have to kind of mentally prepare yourself to deal with the client. So it's almost like the Peanuts cartoon, the Pigpen character where there's just this sort of cloud of dust that follows him around. So this woman had just sort of this cloud of just despair that would follow her around. So there was just a heaviness whenever right. I would meet with her. So I, you know, braced myself, prepared myself to meet with her today. And she comes bouncing into the room and she's smiling and looking happy for the first time. And she's carrying this huge paper bag with her. So we start our visit and, you know, she lets me know, you know, Dr. Peoples, I've been reading all about inflammation and I've changed my diet and I've gone on this clean diet and I've started taking all these supplements and, you know, I feel great. And I just wanted to know from you, you know, they say you're supposed to talk to your doctor before, you know, taking any supplements because they might interact with medications. So, you know, if any of my supplements interact with my medications, I need to know because I'm going to stop taking my medications. So not I'm going to stop taking the supplements. I'm going to stop taking these medications if there's
any interaction.
Which
is great if it's working.
Right, exactly. I was clueless, so we don't really learn much nutrition in medical school. Of course, I didn't know what to tell her about the medication, about the supplements. So I told her, well, I'll write everything down and I'll do some research and I'll get back to you. So that sort of took me down this rabbit hole of really exploring functional and integrative medicine. And I stumbled upon the Institute for Functional Medicine and just like, that's really what was the turning point for me was just having this entirely new set of tools for my toolkit in dealing with patients. So I'm at work, I'm fired up, I'm excited, I'm wanting to, you know, put people on supplements and help them change their diets. But again, I'm still in the system of, you know, 15 to 20 minute med check. So there's not a whole lot of education that you can do within
right.
that setting.
And that is your bread and butter.
Exactly. Exactly. So I really had to do some soul searching and kind of made the decision to take the leap and go out on my own.
Wow. So did you do functional, you studied functional medicine before doing Amara and mm-hmm. you fully equipped yourself to be mm-hmm. educated in holistic care of a person.
Exactly.
So we're talking about not just having a food and medication mix, but really backing up the whole entire story of how a person's health began. So emotional, physical, diet, incredible. So you are totally functional and holistic at Amara Health and Wellness.
Correct. So I am actually close to new medication management patients. So patients who do see me primarily for functional medicine assessments and also therapy and life coaching.
Incredible. So someone will come in with diabetes now mm-hmm. and eczema and allergies to some sort of food, and you're like, okay, we're going to treat this as a whole problem.
Exactly.
And not just medic.
Oh, exactly.
I love it. What's the most complex thing you've come across with someone now?
You know, that's a hard question to answer because it's, the body is complex, and there's no, I think when we're trained traditionally, we think that there is sort of one cause and there's one medication that matches that cause. So the sort of pill to ill hypothesis. Whereas when you do step back and take more of a functional approach, you really recognize that there are multiple things. At least in my practice, I tend to think about things in terms of three pillars of health. So the first pillar really is about lifestyle. So what is it that we're doing for ourselves to make sure that we're as well as possible? So that's where it's important to make smart lifestyle choices. So really understanding the importance of sleep and moving our bodies, having an awareness practice, knowing who we are, and thinking about how we tailor inputs into our bodies. So how do we feed ourselves? And not only food-wise, but what do we feed our minds? What do we feed our spirits? You know, what's the quality of our relationships? Second pillar is really around physiology. So is there anything biologically happening that might be driving symptoms? So that's where we look at things like gut health or hormonal health or looking at detoxification systems or methylation pathways or thinking about mitochondria. Real health when people are struggling with things like fatigue. And then the last pillar is really around spirituality. So kind of those deeper issues around identity, meaning, and purpose. So are we really leading lives that are in alignment with our values? So we can make all the right choices, you know, food-wise and kind of do all the right self-care things. But if that piece isn't in place, then everything else really crumbles. So really helping people navigate through all of those areas really has been the most sort of powerful thing in my practice.
No kidding. You start to change all three pillars and it's a much more lifelong change for them.
Exactly.
Rather than just I'll limp you through the next year and then we'll figure it out and limp through the next year.
Right.
Interesting. You used a word in there and maybe we'd have to unpack all the words, but mesh something that I've never heard before.
Oh, methylation.
Methylation. What is that?
Yes. So it is pretty much, if you remember high school chemistry, so a methyl group is pretty much a carbon with three hydrogens attached to it. And when you methylate something, you attach this methyl group onto a substance. So methylation is important in kind of producing our neurotransmitters, certain neurotransmitters. It's important in detoxifying certain substances. So like our hormones, for example. So if people don't have adequate methylation pathways, then they can struggle with emotional health issues because they may have difficulty actually producing the building blocks that are needed for the brain to function as effectively as possible.
What determines the pathways? Is it genetic?
Partially. So people can have genetic issues that impact methylation pathways. So if you've ever heard the term MTHFR, for example, people with that particular, what we call SNP or single nucleotide polymorphism, it's just a variation in the base pairs in the DNA. So the protein product is a little bit different than most people in the population. So those people may not produce enough active folate. So we need folate in our bodies to drive all sorts of our enzymatic processes. So when you're not producing that, then you can have a higher likelihood of struggling with things like depression or anxiety or having preterm pregnancies or even struggle with infertility. If those issues aren't addressed biochemically, methylation can impact our biology. So there are kind of many, many areas that are impacted by this, you know, tiny little molecule.
So. I mean, first of all, it's amazing most of us have all of our limbs.
Right. Exactly.
And then you go down to this mm-hmm. microscopic level. It's incredible that so many of us are even like getting by.
Right. Right.
The body is unreal.
And it's amazing in its capacity to really adapt and change.
No kidding.
And kind of allow us to function in spite of whatever alterations or changes we may have present. And at least in functional medicine, the saying is that the kind of genetics load the gun, but environment pulls the trigger. Okay. So even though we may have a predisposition to developing certain illnesses, we have a lot of authority to really sort of make the right choices and help us prevent the likelihood of having negative outcomes.
No kidding. And just this incredible, you know, Dr. Caroline Leaf, neuroplasticity, like you get a baby neuron, you get to decide based on your environment how you're going to raise that baby neuron right. overnight. Mm-hmm. Positive thought, negative thought. Exactly. Life is okay. Life is not okay. You're not going to make it or you're going to make it.
Right.
Then you put in like more mental health or addictions or crazy lifestyle that's never rested and never balanced. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's amazing so many of us are upright.
Right.
You're like, what an incredible thing our body is.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Like you said, so many nuances to everybody's special situation and their inputs and their intakes and their lifestyle. Is there just any general advising you can give to people?
So I generally advise people to make smart lifestyle choices. So SMART is an acronym, and it has to do with those modifiable lifestyle factors that we do have control over. So S is sleep. So making sure that we're getting adequate, you know, restful, restorative sleep, thinking about sleep hygiene. So those behaviors surrounding sleep. So in our modern lifestyles, we're exposed to a lot of artificial light, for example, and that really disrupts our kind of internal clock, so our circadian rhythm. So really thinking about, you know, blue light blocking glasses if you are going to be on your electronic devices after dark, using the night mode on your phone or on your tablets. And the reason that's important is because we've naturally evolved to associate darkness with needing to rest. So that's when the brain releases something called melatonin, which is our natural sleep hormone. So when we're exposed to a lot of artificial light, that melatonin production gets suppressed. So we can struggle with being able to kind of wind down and fall asleep at night if we are sort of constantly exposed to these artificial light sources. The M is about movement. So kind of physically moving our bodies. So when we are physically active, we're able to really regulate our stress hormones. And there's evidence that people who lead sedentary lifestyles actually have as much risk as cigarette smokers. So it's really important just to physically get up and move. And we don't have to, you know, join CrossFit. Really something as simple as just walking. So, you know, getting a pedometer and, you know, getting your 10,000 steps in every day can really lessen your likelihood of developing, you know, chronic diseases like diabetes or obesity or heart disease. The A is about having an awareness practice. So really thinking about how do you incorporate mindfulness into your life. So people who do have a mindfulness practice actually do restructure their brains. You know, you grow new neurons in the front part of your brain when you do kind of actively have this mindful practice. The R is about recognition of identity, so really knowing who you are. When we don't know who we are, we really allow our circumstances to define us. And then the T is about tailoring inputs into your body. So what is it that you're feeding yourself? So I would say that would be the kind of advice that I recommend that people follow when they are trying to really create a healthy lifestyle for themselves.
I love that SMART, that acronym. That's incredible. And there's so much control over what SMART habits and SMART exactly. routines you put around each one of those. There can be good routines about your sleep. You can have a movement plan for every day. You can be aware of your thoughts. I love that whole thing. And then the T for tailoring inputs, is that about food and supplement and
pretty
or what are we talking like?
Anything. So if you think about all of your senses, so, you know, food is one of our inputs, but what are we feeding our minds?
And hearing.
So, exactly.
What are we seeing every
exactly.
day? Yeah. Is it making us just grumpy?
Right. So when we think about, you know, social media, for example, you know, there are studies that show that people who are on Facebook frequently actually tend to have a, you know, worse outcomes in terms of,
right.
of emotional
negative outlook.
Health. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a grumpy breeding ground. And unless I feel like social media, if you want to choose to have it be positive, uplifting inputs.
Exactly. You have to curate the content. So really modifying your timeline and getting rid of anything that really is going to be negative or triggering. And really thinking about how do you create an atmosphere and an environment that's really conducive to wellness.
Yeah. Right. Follow. Maybe choose to follow people that make you laugh or inspire you.
Exactly.
And then the people that are constantly complaining about politics, it's like maybe there's just not space for them in your inputs.
Exactly. Because you want to control that. So, and, you know, we do need to be informed and know what's going on in the world, but we don't need a 24-hour feed. So you can set aside time to, you know, first thing, you know, 8:30 to 8:45 in the morning, I'm going to read the newspaper. You know, that's going to be how I stay aware of what's going on in the world. Right. But beyond that, you don't have to sort of consistently bombard your senses with things that may trigger fear or anxiety.
Right. I think maybe people get hooked on the refresh of knowing, being always in the know. And it's like, what? Maybe 30 minutes in the morning is all you need.
Right.
Do you see children at your practice too?
I do not. So okay. I work exclusively with adults 18 and over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear a lot of moms sometimes. It's nice to see a shift in society where moms are saying, I wonder if his behavior has anything to do with food.
Exactly.
You know, and so it's just nice to know that people are starting to think that way.
Right.
That's why I always say food is drugs.
Right.
What you put in is making a chemical difference.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So adults only, are you taking any new patients at Amara Health and
Wellness? I am.
Okay.
Yes. So I always welcome new clients. So people can definitely feel free to kind of reach out. My website is amarahealthandwellness.com, I-M-A-R-A. So they can certainly feel free to connect.
I love that. Website. Oh, that's so, you guys, Dr. Peoples, what a great resource. And she was a part of our expo. So we do thank you for all this expertise. And I'm going to have to look at this whole folate production. And like, I love learning new things. Thank you so much, Dr. Peoples.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Welcome to the Two Emerge podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Emerge Mothers Academy, a Twin Cities nonprofit equipping single moms through social work, counseling, work preparation, and a microloan grant program. We believe all moms can emerge as confident women and caring moms. To get involved or support us, please visit emergetwincities.org.
The Two Emerge podcast is brought to you by Emerge Mothers Academy. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a positive review. A special thanks to our media manager, Laurel Goulson, and to Jessica Manning for our music.